I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for August 17th, 2015 to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Mishka?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present, therefore a quorum does exist. We welcome all of you to our City Council meeting. I assume most of you are here for Agenda Item 5, which is to give input about recently erected no parking signs around town. However, if you're here for a different issue, please let me know when we get to that on the agenda by raising your hand so I can recognize you at the appropriate time. If you are here for those no parking signs, again, we have you right at the top of the agenda following the approval of the meeting minutes, and you're going to have a chance to talk early in the meeting, so you don't have to stay here all evening. With that, I invite you to join us on our Pledge of Allegiance. This meeting, it's led by Mrs. Hussman.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Additions to the agenda. I know that the materials for Item 7A and 7B were distributed at your places prior to the meeting. This is information about hiring the engineer for the second phase of the River Trail. I have nothing else to add. Mrs. Westphal?
Mr. Mayor, I spoke with a gentleman here this evening who is interested in making some comment about traffic and speed heading north on Centennial, and don't know if that's something we could add to the agenda.
Why don't we add him as Agenda 5C? Since we're taking resident input, we'll talk about that as well. That fits you near the top of the agenda as well. And it's speed on Centennial Road? Am I looking at you? Is that the right, did I get it right?
Centennial, correct, north and south traffic.
Speed of vehicles on Centennial Road.
That's all, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Members of council, any additional items? There are already listed on there committee reports for the two committee meetings held this evening already as Agenda Items 8A and 8B. Members of staff, any additions? Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Or Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, with that, is there a motion to be made to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda for this evening is approved. Agenda Item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on July 20th. Mrs. Westphal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the July 20th, 2015 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from July 20th, 2015 be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes are approved. Agenda Item 5, we are pleased to have residents here tonight to give some input to City Council concerning recently installed no parking signs on Weldwood Drive and Summit Street. We're glad that you're here. We are interested in your input. You certainly have a chance to speak. When you do come to the podium, we ask that you give your name and your address so we can put it in the meeting minutes. If your comments are repetitive, I'd appreciate you saying, I agree with what that gentleman said, and we don't need all the details again. But if your points are different, you need to make the point again, you go right ahead and do it. City Council will let me know how long you're interested in listening. It could be that this issue will be referred back to the administration, or it could be referred to the Safety Committee. That's yet to be decided by City Council. I'd like to do it, follow the order that's on the agenda, which is to hear from the residents who want to speak concerning the no parking signs on Weldwood Drive. So if you're here for that one, come on up to the podium, let us know who you are and what your address is, and
we're ready. Hi, my name's Dave Gang. I'm at 4338 Weldwood. I've been a resident of Sylvania for 26 years now. And in that entire time, there's been there's been parking permitted in front of our street, in front of my house. in question is probably three or four houses that recently erected, no parking sites have been put up. I had a discussion with Kevin Allen, the safety director. I'm not sure what date. He said that no parking sign will be put up from my property line to the stop sign, and that parking would be permitted on my side of the street. When the guys came out to put the no parking signs up, it was on the entire side of my street around the corner. I don't know if Mrs. Westfall has provided you guys with a map or a plan of our street.
Mr. Gang, we did speak about it, and I did not follow up on that appropriately, so my sincere apologies. I do think many of the council members have driven down the street and taken a look at it, so again, my sincere apologies.
And if you're familiar with the area, when we moved in, and I think when the Ingersolls moved in, we were a dead-end street, and you put the addition for Bard Hollow to Pickett, and I think it was Fleetwood back in there. So unfortunately, our street kind of became a cut-through area, and there is two curves in the area, which made it a little dangerous. Quite frankly, when people are parked on either side of the street, it's very dangerous coming around the corner. When we at least had a car parked there, one of our neighbors, the Smiths, had a truck that he would park in front of his house, and actually it would slow traffic down with that truck there. Now he can't park there. You get all kinds of people coming running through the stop sign. I don't know that this is going to prevent them from actually seeing the stop sign. So that's a concern. And just with the volume of cars that we personally own, we have to park on the other side of the street now. And it's like, okay, where do we park? We don't have any place to park our cars. And they have places to park, or they don't have any places to park on their side. So it's like, all of a sudden, too many cars, not enough parking spots. So that's why we're bringing that to your attention. The process is a little bothersome too, quite frankly, without being notified. I mean, if I wanted to notice that the Savannah guys were marking the oops, you know, the utilities in front of my property, I was conveniently getting a roof done for my house, and I called oops and said, what are you guys doing? And I thought it was my roof guy. He said, put a sign up. I'm thinking, why are my roofers putting a sign up there? And it's no effect. The sign department for Savannah was like, what are you guys doing? And if it wasn't for that phone call, they would have just shown up and did it. And that's just wrong. You should have at least a notification. You should have at least a time frame where the residents of the affected area can come and make comments, can sit with the safety committee. You know, if it's a safety concern, I guess we need to talk about that. We need to understand what the laws of the state are, what the setbacks are. Is it really a problem? I know Mrs. Westfall actually mentioned that there were some requirements, I guess, on where you put signs and when parking permitted in front of the stop sign. But what you've created now is more of a speed zone. And we have kids in the neighborhood. I mean, they're going to get hurt. They like to play volleyball across the road. They like to play, you know, there's bikes. Bikes are an issue in our neighborhood. They park at Tam O'Shanter. They go through the neighborhood, they blow by the stop signs just like the cars do. But you know, you get that combination and something's going to happen. It's a little better to at least have parking there to slow the traffic down. Another suggestion might be to trim some of the trees that are there to improve the site. And lastly, maybe not have parking on both sides of the curve for that, whatever that distance is. Because either way you come, north or south, whatever way you're coming around the curb. Kevin said that you had to have a sight line from one to the other. It's like, well, that if you still have a car on one side of the road and you're coming around the other side, the sight line doesn't matter. It should be both. It shouldn't be one or the other. It should be both. So if we're going to request anything, it's like we need to define that zone there of where we can park still. That's what we'd like to do. I mean, right now, I mean, I think we're devaluing our property a little bit by not being able to have parking on both sides of the road.
We appreciate your input.
Thank you.
My name is John Ingersoll, 4333 Wildwood. My wife and I have lived there for 28 years. We've been retired for 26. I surprised, and so was she, when we came back from a five-week vacation and we see one side of the street, no parking. We've been there 28 years, not aware of any child that's been injured, not aware of any accident that has occurred. And all of a sudden, we've got no parking signs. For what reason? I'd like to know. Other than that, I agree with pretty much everything Dave said.
All right. Thank you. With that, I might, there may be others want to speak about Weldwood, but I think perhaps Mr. Aller, the service director, might want to go over with city council a report that was forwarded through Mrs. Westfall to all members of city council. That's the events that led up to those signs being put up. And I do want to say that I can relate to all of you. First off, I've lived in my house for 35 years over on Vicksburg, and we have no parking on my side of the street. Before I was involved with the city, those signs were put up by the fire chief for access into the neighborhood. And yes, we have a speeding problem down Vicksburg, which got a whole lot better when Pickett was extended through, because all that traffic coming up and down through the north from the north didn't have to come down Vicksburg. But we were told just what you said. Cars parking on the street slow down traffic. They do. And so I can relate to you on all issues, but I want to let the safety director tell you why he's put those signs up there. We need to have better notification, but let's have that, let's let him go through the events that led to it right now. Mr. Allen.
We had, the area was initially brought to our attention back during the winter by our snow and ice control crews. They have, anytime you have an interior curve, they're problems to plow to begin with. The laws of physics are working against you. They're trying to throw the snow the opposite way from where the vehicle goes. But then when you have vehicles parked on those curves, it makes it even more difficult because now you have to slow down. You're changing your angle to a great degree going around those curves. And just not able to clear it out in the proper manner, the manner that we wish that we wish to clear our streets. So it was brought to my attention during that time. I started looking at it in the spring, went down and took a look at the site distances that the one resident mentioned. And on interior curves, you don't have that site distance. If you're traveling on this particular curve, if you're traveling southbound on Weldwood or westbound on Bunk Hollow, you don't have that sight distance. If cars are parked along that curve, you don't have that sight distance to know if a car's coming the opposite direction. So if there's cars parked there, you're going out into that other lane of traffic blind. You have no idea if there's another car coming. So that's a concern. In taking a look at that, when you take a look at that sight distance at that intersection, I initially determined you use 200 feet as a guideline from the end of a curve. That's a traffic standard, 200 feet. I then took a look. If you take a look at that intersection, you're also not able to park within an intersection. That's state law. It's part of our city. It's part of our city code. So then we extended that no parking through that intersection because during one of my visits and taking a look at this, there were three vehicles parked within that intersection area. One was parked right at the end of it where Pinecone dead ends into Wellwood. One was parked right there. So that, regardless if the signs are up or not, that's a violation. That could be, you're just not allowed to do that. That could be ticketed whether a sign's up or not. In the interest of being trying to make sure that everybody knew where you should or should not park, I did extend that the signage through that intersection so that we didn't have any vehicles parked in that area where they shouldn't be anyways. So that's how we came to where we're at today. That's how the signs on Weldwood got installed. That was the reasoning behind it. I do think it is a pretty tough curve. The sight distance, if you make no parking on the southbound side, west side of Weldwood, you can have no parking there, but if you have your parking on the other side, then that's, you don't solve the sight distance issue. You still have that problem. If you have cars parked on the west side of Weldwood, you're still able to see, you're able to see if a vehicle's coming at you and then make some sort of accommodation, where flip-flopped, you don't have that. So that's the reasoning behind the placement of the signs.
All right, thank you, Mr. Aller. Is there anybody else on Wildwood that would like to voice a concern? Come on up.
I'm Thomas Hoyt, I'm at 4332 Wildwood, and I listened to everything you had to say, and if on the interior of the curb is the problem for your sight lines, there's a tree right in the middle of the curb that you can't see around. So if that's your issue, that should be the first thing you did, was take that tree down. And then after the curb, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be able to park there. And if somebody was parking that intersection, why didn't you just ticket him and take care of it? Because apparently you didn't do that. And he obviously doesn't know you can't park there. So I think you should have at least got a warning or a ticket or something.
Okay.
Like I say, everything else I agree with Dave and John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please.
I'm Martha Ingersoll. I also live at 4333 Wildwood. And in all the time that we've lived there, to my knowledge, there has never been an accident of anyone coming around that curve. People know that curve's there. They see cars parked there. And, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't know of any accident that has ever been there in the 28-plus years that we have lived in this neighborhood. So it's extremely inconvenient. Like Dave had work done on his house, so his truck that was working in there on their house parked on our side of the street, which is not, I mean, we didn't care, don't get me wrong, but it was, he was permitted or not permitted to park on Dave's side of the street. So the guys, all their equipment's on our side of the street, they're carrying it across the street. You know, it's just, since we've lived there, we've not had any problem, and I can't see that we would have any problem. People are careful, they know that curve's there, and we haven't had any problem, as far as I know, to this day. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see anybody else from Wildwood that wishes to speak. What I would like to do is to take your comments back. I'll discuss them with the service director and the chief of police, and we'll see if there's any changes that they would propose at this time based on your input into the situation. It is a safety decision. I am not a safety officer, but I can relate to you about the inconvenience of not being able to park in front of your home. I can't park in front of my home, and that was for the access of fire trucks to get into Lincoln Woods. We have the issue that Mr. Aller brought up about snow plows, and that's an issue all around town these last couple of years, that the city gets it plowed back the first time, then we have another snow, and then when people park in front of the plowed snow, the road gets too narrow if people are on both sides of the street for the snow plow to get through. We need to think about that, but that's a pretty short-term issue, that we could issue a no parking ban during those snow emergencies. So we're going to look at the options. I don't know whether this issue is going to be referred to the safety committee or not, but either way, the administration will take another look at it. We appreciate you coming here tonight, and we will be back in touch with you. We will do a better job of communicating to you any changes, further changes that are going to be made. Mrs. Westfall, did you want to speak?
Mr. Mayor, I wonder if we could request that the administration report out at a safety committee meeting about any of their thoughts with regard to the comments that they've heard.
That is certainly appropriate. So it sounds like this issue is going to a safety committee meeting.
What kind of timing would you be looking at for that?
You know what, I think we just need to schedule that meeting. I'm not sure if there's a sense of urgency. I know that we've got some scheduling conflicts coming up. I mean, I'm sure our neighbors feel a sense of urgency. So if we can get the meeting scheduled before the other conflicts, then we'll do that. And I don't know that we need to schedule that right now.
No, does that give the administration ample time to get back
right,
to us?
Right, it may not. I don't know about that.
So we'll discuss that later.
Okay, we might
want to move on and let people about Summit Street speak as well.
Sure.
But I was just trying to give a little closure to Weldwood. Summit Street's a little bit different situation. Weldwood is a more residential character street. Summit Street is more of a major thoroughfare. It has a traffic light with Monroe Street. It extends into the state of Michigan and has a lot of collector traffic running on it. But for similar reasons, no parking signs were put on there. And I'm not aware of any accidents on Weldwood, but I know I've been made aware of accidents on Summit Street that led the safety director to recommend these changes. I'd like to invite anybody here that wishes to address the signage, the no parking signage on Summit Street, to please come up and address council.
My name is Donna McConnell, and I live at 5903 Summit Street for the past 34 years.
Welcome.
And I thank you because you're the one that said I could come talk because you said that you wanted my input. So here goes.
Okay.
First off, it's not an inconvenience for us that there's no parking on Summit Street. It's a hardship. We do a lot of entertaining. I would like to invite all of you to my home, but only two of you could come. That's what I have. Pardon? Could you? I invite you to come over tomorrow night. I will have drinks, and I will have hors d'oeuvres. If you can carpool, come on over. I'm supposed to have 25 people at my house on Sunday, family. We get to host our family twice a year. We told them we don't know what to do. I don't know where you can park for even to have us bring you in. We live, if you would come to my house, and again, I would like for you to come over and see where I live. We have a short driveway. It's on a little hill. So one of you could pull up. The other one would have to be on the little hill. And if you had the larger car, you're blocking the sidewalk. But that's okay, right? So anyway, it's a hardship. We're involved in our church. We have Bible studies. Can't hear it anymore. Because, well, we can only have two cars. So it's hard. It's really hard. And I feel like it's the price of our home, the property, is going down now because, well, you can only have two cars. Like they said before with Weldwood, we weren't notified of this. I walked out one day and I thought, oh, they put a speed limit sign up because people fly down the street. Oh, no, it was no parking. But at least with the parking, the traffic slowed down because now we see an increase. We not only see an increase in speed, we do see a lot of policemen out now, which is good and bad, except if you're the house where the police are sitting in your driveway and you can't get out. That's bad. You said a number of accidents. Like I said, we've lived there 34 years. Yes, there have been some accidents. I don't know how many recent, well, I was just told there was a recent one not too long ago. But isn't that the risk you take whenever you park on the street, whether it's downtown or, you know, anywhere else? I don't know. There's a couple of ideas that I would have. And when you mentioned that there might be a subcommittee on safety, if you want a resident, sign me up. I'd be happy to be on your safety committee meeting. Could you widen to one lane? Make the line different instead of down the dead center, scoot it over a little bit. We only have parking on one side of our street the way it is now. Could you put a stop sign to slow traffic down on Orchard and on Erie? So, yes, on Monroe Street, you have a red light, and then you can come up and you can stop on Erie, and then you can come up and you can stop on Orchard. That would slow it down, where it would make passing better. We were told it was part of the snow removal. There's problems with snow removal. Well, why can't we have a sign that says when the snow is greater than 2 inches, you can't park on the street? I don't know. I guess, what needs to be done to change this? Tell me what needs to be done, and let's work with it. Let's not just say, you know what, we're putting the sign up, that's the way it is.
We appreciate your input. That's what needs to be done right now.
Yes.
You're taking the step necessary.
So we're going to take another look at it. That could have been taken or that are going to be taken for this.
The administration's going to take another look at these no parking signs based on your input. You asked, could we make the one side, one lane wider, so there's enough room to park along it. I asked that question as well. I'm told that the street is too narrow to do that. We'd have 8 or 9 foot wide lanes, so we would need to widen Summit Street to be able to do that.
I'm getting my north and south. South end of the street, the older part of the street, it is more narrow. But isn't the north side from Erie up a little bit wider?
I believe you're correct.
And wouldn't that be enough room, Kevin?
Still not wide enough for three lanes, no.
Not three lanes?
Yeah, but that's what you're asking.
Oh, I guess that would be.
What you're asking for is three lanes, and it's not wide enough for that, no.
So how many is coming tomorrow? So I know what to make. Well, thank you for your time. You know, I'm kind of laughing about that. I am very upset about this. Like I said, this has caused a hardship for us. It's a change of lifestyle for us. This is not the kind of life that my husband and I have lived for 34 years on Summit Street. We like to entertain. We like to have family. We like to have friends. We're involved. And this now is not allowing us that.
We'll see what we can do to help you out.
I appreciate it, and I would like to hear that.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Thank you. Others are welcome to come up and address the Summit Street no parking signs as well.
I'm Kevin Armstrong. I live at 6742 Maplewood, but I also have a property at 5839 Summit Street. And I grew up on Summit Street. So I've been here for 58 years. It's always had parking. Every once in a while there is an accident there. But right now, you just turned it into a free-for-all, other than the fact that the police are there occasionally to slow people down. I was standing in the front yard the other day over there. This guy went by. He was going at least 50 going north. The cars at least slow the people down. You guys all agreed to that already once. And the accident, there was just recently an accident right in front of my son's house on Summit Street. But that guy was drunk. The police took him away in handcuffs. You know, so you can't, you know, the drunk guy coming from Michigan trying to sneak back through town isn't the issue. But it is very bad because it's an older neighborhood. You don't have big wide driveways. You don't have four-car garages.
I don't know if there's any place in town that has four-car garages, sir.
Well, there's a few. You know there are.
Not in my neighborhood.
The township, I'm sorry. But it seems like I'm here, and you remember me, I'm here for other parking issues as well. But anyway, Summit Street, that is a problem, and you refer to it as a thoroughfare. Well, you know, only sort of, you know, and if you want to do something, cut it off at the Michigan line or make it just one way. You can only go one way.
No, we can't. That would be like cutting off Main Street or Monroe Street or McCord or Brent. This is a collector street.
It is. It's a collector street.
It's a collector. The problem is all these people that are coming down in from Michigan, to and from Michigan, they are speeding down your street. And it is not a residential street. It's a collector street with residences on it.
It is a residential street. You cannot refer to it as something other than a residential street. It's commercial from Erie Street south, but it is a residential street, always has been a residential street. How can you laugh and smile like that?
Because this is a street that has it goes into the state of Michigan, just like Main Street. It has a light at Monroe Street, just like Main Street.
Right.
There is no parking on Main Street except in the downtown block.
Well, and there should be more parking on Main Street. You know, Main Street should be widened north, and more parking should be put.
And that might be the solution for Summit Street as well. Council's going to have to take a look at that.
Right, but in the meantime, you know, you're going to inconvenience everybody that lives on that street. You know, they took away parking on my street on Maplewood several years ago. But at least I can park down here in the municipal lot, or somebody that's coming to my house can park on the municipal lot. And now I've got some even closer parking down by the school.
It is an inconvenience. I agree with that. That's why we're going to try to find another solution.
And she's very right about the property values. Nobody wants to live on a street where you can't have gas, you can't have parking. It's more than a little problem. You know, I don't appreciate the kind of, you know, sort of smile, he's not right, it's a collector's street. No, it is still very much a residential street. and the speed's been out of control since I was a little kid there. And there haven't been many accidents there. And the one drunk guy that was last month, he's a special problem.
All right, thank you. I'd like to have Mr. Aller, the chief of police, have an opportunity to go through the reasons for the changes he made, just like we did for Wildwood. I could probably start with Mr. Aller.
I'll start. We have similar situations during the winter along Summit Street. This past winter, we received a complaint that Summit Street hadn't been plowed. And when I went down to check the street, it had in fact been plowed. The problem was that there were so many cars that the plow was having to work in and out that only half the street was plowed because of all of the cars that were parked there. So that is, again, where this situation came up. We took a look. I started taking a look at the area, and there is a lot of traffic on that street. We had cars pulling into the opposite lane of oncoming traffic. There's not enough room for three vehicles along that street, portions of the street, you can't have it. So we started taking a further look. I received a complaint, an email complaint from a resident that did not like the parking, thought that there should be no parking. We received another email complaint that it was sent to a council person. So we started taking a look at what we could do. I got with the police chief to take a look at accident records. I asked him to take a look at the area, and you know, initially he came back with saying that to make it no parking within the intersections area, and then he came back a short time later after they had looked at it a little more and said, you know, we really should take a look and make it that whole section no parking. And that's when we started moving forward and making plans. I'll let the chief talk to accident records and things of the future, but that's how we got to this point of having the signs installed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Al. Just to let you know how many accidents we have had in the past 5.5 years, I ran a records check. Since 2009, we've had over 23 accidents over on Summit Street going down to the Road Street, in which 17 of those were relevant to, I see Summit Street going back towards the state line, 5700 block going all the way to the 6000 block. Of those, of the 17 accidents you had 9 of those involving parked cars that got struck, in which a total of 12 cars got damaged during those 9 accidents. And if I recall, I think you had 8 of those were southbound traffic coming up from Michigan. You had 7 of those in which vehicles got struck. You had a side swiping of another vehicle by a vehicle going southbound. And the other one was a resident pulling out of their driveway and struck a parked car over in that area. Probably the worst area over there is probably the 5800 block of Summit Street. So whenever you have, you know, a safety concern that's brought to my attention, I have to go out there and investigate and take a look at what the cause is and what can we do to remedy the situation. And it's like Mr. Allard said, I gave him a first recommendation of just putting those parking signs on the intersections. I thought a little bit more about that. That's basically putting a band-aid, a little goo-goo there to try to fix something. The cause of the problem is when the traffic has to pass going left to center and going face on into the oncoming traffic. That's the main problem that we have over there. That is a dangerous situation when you have that occurring. And it occurs quite too often. I've been a police officer out here for 32 years. I've traveled that road. So when you're passing a parked car and you got oncoming traffic, you have to jet back into where there's open space, hoping that there is an open space. Otherwise, you have to accelerate and get by those parked cars, and that creates some speed problems that we have, so.
All right, thank you for those reports. I welcome anybody else that would like to speak about Summit Street, and as you're making your way up here, I think that the intent is at the moment, and we want to hear your comments, is that we're going to take your comments back. I will take them back as the non-safety professional back to my staff, and we'll see if we can't brainstorm some solutions that we can find some ways to help you and also meet their safety concerns. And then the president of council has asked that that report be made in a safety committee meeting that they'll schedule. But go right ahead. We're interested in all your comments.
Okay, good evening, Mayor and members of the council, representatives from the city. I own the property at 5745 Phillips. I've owned that property for 32 years. This new no parking situation, not good, not good at all. It's caused a lot of jockeying, people having to jockey, and that's causing a lot of problems because of the uptick in speed on the street. We had a car damage there, 30 years ago by a drunk driver, and it always seems like most of the accidents on cars that are stationary were by drunk drivers coming south out of Michigan. Alluding to the fact that it's a collector street, is there a traffic count? I'm sure there's a traffic count that's...
I'm sure we have one.
Yeah, yep. Okay, and I don't know if that will dictate...
And I believe the service department was talking about putting our sensors out there mm-hmm. to confirm what the traffic counts are, what the speeds are, too. Mm-hmm.
I've always owned a truck and never had any problems because I traversed that road up into Michigan and never had any close calls or any kind of problems. Yeah,
when I go up and down that street, it's not busy, but I'm not there during rush hours. That's not where I commute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, it's a speed issue. I don't know. It's police can only enforce things.
We have speed issues on every street in this city.
Sure. At present, I live on Phillips Street, and there's cars that get hit, you know, and damaged on Phillips Street.
The safe drivers that will stop when there's a parked car in their lane and somebody's right. coming the other way, they're not the ones that are causing the problem, and it does slow down traffic. Mm-hmm. It's the guy that swerves out and says, I can beat that next car, and then he mm-hmm. sideswipes the car, or the drunks. You're right about that.
You know, I don't know if there's a compromise that can be...
We're going to brainstorm and see what we can come up with.
Sure. I'm sure that, you know, the concept of when there's a snow issue, street should be cleared.
The city does have a new ordinance that's in place that requires cars to be kept off the roads when we have, I think it's 6 inches of snow or more. Mm-hmm. That's a citywide issue that we're going to start enforcing. I'm sorry?
I think it's less than that. I forget what we had.
Kevin? 4 inches. I've been corrected. It's 4 inches. We're going to go through an educational program for everybody in the city because it has become a problem with the greater snowfalls recently. Some of you may not like the fact that when it snows, city snow plows go down a street and they widen out one snow plow width and then we come back later and we do it the next width. Well, we want to get the snow plows down every street, but we also have to widen it all the way or you can't park along the street anymore and it becomes too narrow the next when a second snow hits. Mm-hmm. And that's why city council has taken this issue with the administration's recommendation. And we're going to have no parking on streets when there's 4 inches of snow or more.
Well, the city needs to do something about these big snowfalls. how are you going to do it? But in general, I agree with everybody else's opinions on Summit Street. It would certainly be nice to see the parking come back. We can maybe make a compromise somehow.
I think we're going to do all we can to find some sort of a compromise, maybe just things that have come up. Maybe there are spaces where it's wide enough to have parking along there safely. Maybe we could have some time parking zones that during the rush hours you can't park along the street. And I am not a safety professional, but sure. I'm a resident like you are, and I'm going to try to find solutions. Like I told the people on Wellwood, I can't park in front of my house. I never had a choice on that.
Yeah.
It happened after I built my house there, and it's just something that we lived with. And when I had kids in the house, it was a real inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a two-car wide driveway, and I can park more than one or two cars in, and I get four in it. But when I have guests, they park on the other side of the street, and that's an issue. So we're going to work with you. I'll work with my administrators to see what we can find out. Again, Mrs. Westfall, the president of council, has asked that that report be made through her safety committee. She will set the time for that. But if we could have, we took down your names. I don't know that we have your emails, but I'd sure like to be able to contact all your folks, or I'm sure she would, when she's going to have a safety committee meeting, so that you can all be notified of that and then hear what the administration's recommending, and then city council can accept or say, go back to the drawing board. They cannot order the safety professionals not to do their jobs. But we're going to work on the problem and try to find the right solutions.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming in. If there's another gentleman would like to speak, come on up.
My name's Ed McConnell. I live at 5903 Summit Street, like my wife said. We've been there for 34 plus years. We've really enjoyed it. If 34 years ago there were no parking on Summit Street on either side of the street, which is the case now, we would never have bought our house. It really does decrease the property value of all the homes on Summit Street. But the other thing is, I feel we have more of a hardship because we live halfway between Orchard and Erie. And that is a very long block. There is no real relief.
No side street to park on.
No side streets to park on.
All right.
You know, there's none of that's there. And so, we had been parking on one side of the street, actually, when we moved in. When we moved in, there were signs that said that this is a snow emergency street and no parking was allowed when there was snow emergency. Those signs disappeared a while ago.
Yeah, I don't know what, I don't know the storyline on that, right. But now every street is included in that.
So, and I think that's fine. I think I also understand that there is, an ordinance that does not allow cars to park on the street for more than 18 hours.
There is a limit to the time you can park, and Chief, is 18 hours the right one? That means you can't just store a vehicle in the street. You need to pull it into a driveway to park it there. We don't enforce that, but police officers, and we get a lot of complaints when parking tickets are handed out to people because they'll say what you're saying. We've done this for 30 years. Why can't we keep doing it?
Right.
Well, we're going to try to make headway and find the solutions to that. But you're exactly right. You can't park a car more than 18 hours in the street.
But our problem is not that we want to park our car in front of our house.
You have guests. Our
problem is that we have guests. We have two daughters. And when they come over, if one of their husbands has to drive, there's no place for them to park.
Would it work? Does it help you then if the city were to put up parking, no parking signs that say from 7, I'm just guessing, this is not their recommendation,
sure,
but from 7 to 9 and from 4 to 6, no parking during the rush hour, something like that?
That would help.
I mean, you're not supposed to park your car there for 24 hours anyways. You got to move it. So is that something that I should seriously propose?
No, that is something
we don't have anything like that in the city, and I know that the professionals over here may not like that, but that seems like a possibility.
Well, after the week after the sign went up, I went and talked to Kevin, and that's one of the things we talked about, was the potential for some timed.
And if we're going to do that, it's going to be enforced. We're going to educate everybody how to do it, just as we're going to do with the new parking ban during snow emergencies.
Sure.
Cars will be ticketed, cars will be towed.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be, my phone in the mayor's office is going to ring off the hook, I think. But we have to enforce those.
But we do, we don't consider it an inconvenience. We do consider it a hardship. So we really appreciate anything
you can do
to help to alleviate that hardship.
Okay, thanks for your input.
Can I just ask, what are you doing in the meantime? So since the signs went up in the last couple of weeks, for people that come over, how are you handling that? Are they not coming over, or are they parking around the corner?
We actually have tried to work with our daughters to make that arrangement. We've had a neighbor that said, you can park at the end of our driveway while this is getting worked out. We've gone back and parked on the block behind us in Orchard.
Okay.
Colonial Court. You know, those are some things that those can work during the summer. They don't work during the winter.
Okay. So you're trying to find ways right now.
Right. Okay. So we're trying to find ways. like my wife said, we've got 25 people coming over on Sunday, and we haven't figured out how we're going to park them yet.
Okay, so, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Mary, if I may, maybe we could schedule our safety committee meeting before the folks leave tonight so that they're informed about that. I didn't mean to step on this guy's lines. He wants to talk too, but...
Why don't you go ahead and speak while they're thinking about a safety committee schedule?
My name's Nick Diver. I live on Summit Street as well, 5813. This new parking thing, it's an interesting little issue for me. As Mr. Armstrong stated, I've personally seen the traffic increase speed. He said he's seen cars go at 50 miles an hour. That's normal. That's absolutely normal.
I don't doubt it at all. It's a straight shot.
Sit on my porch and now see...
Actually, you can sit on my porch on Vicksburg Drive and see people go 50 miles an hour every now and then.
And now see them go like NASCAR drivers down the street because now they don't have any obstructions. They have no cars to worry about. I have a police officer that decides to sit in my driveway every morning, block my sidewalk.
He's there without permission?
Yeah, I never called him. I'd like to access my driveway when I police.
Well, you should absolutely.
Without having to wave him and wait for him to move his vehicle. Well, that's an issue. If I blocked the sidewalk, a cop would be there, then he would issue me a citation.
Well, cop is there, apparently.
Yeah, he definitely. You know, it's kind of unfair. I see they're pulling people over left and right. Just today, actually, this morning, he got someone. And, you know, I don't know if more tax dollars need to be raised. Or do you need the money that you cut off Summit Street just so you can put a police officer there 24/7? Because he's either at Reeves, he's either in my driveway, or he's behind...
It's a targeted speed enforcement zone right now. It won't last forever.
Only recently.
Well, it's because of the new parking sign. It's because of what you're saying. There's a change, and people are speeding up, so we're trying to slow them down. That will not last forever. We can't. We don't have enough police officers to do that.
Right.
Other parts of the city are not getting the same enforcement level that they did before we worked on this area. So that will change.
I'd like to raise a family on Summit Street.
Good, we want you
And I felt really safe before this. Now, when I'm backing out of my driveway, if I have my son or my daughter in the car, and I'm backing out, and there's some guy flying down, and with the cars there, I could sit there, and I could wait for someone to pass, and then back out. Now they're just coming around that corner from Michigan. They're coming fast, and before I know it, they're right at my tail end.
Well, that's why the police are there trying to slow them down.
Well,
the cars did a better job.
Yeah.
We've talked about that. I know
the
how
cars
that
were always there. Now, the police officer's not always going to be there, like you said.
That's right. Okay, we appreciate your input. All right, Mr. Lukey asked for the scheduling of a safety committee meeting. Well, this can be discussed in more detail, and the administrators will be back with any proposed changes, if there are any that they can recommend.
Mr. Mayor, I know there are some scheduling conflicts coming up, and I know, Mr. Lukey, you're not really available for an extended period of time between now and our next meeting.
Well, I'm available until the 27th.
You are. So I think the question is that a reasonable amount of time for administration to come back with a recommendation? Could you have that recommendation in place before the 26th?
We can certainly come back with some preliminary work. We're going to talk about it in staff on Wednesday. We can come back with some potential ideas sooner than that. Will we come back with all the research and all the final recommendations? Probably not, no.
September 8th would be better.
September 8th puts us past the next council meeting.
What about our next council meeting?
No, it's on the
9th.
I'm sorry, I lied. But Mr. Lukey,
I won't be here, but that's fine. Go ahead.
The 8th works for me. Let me see who else is on that. Safety Committee, make sure I've got everybody aligned. Mark Fry?
I'm fine.
You're fine?
On the 8th, yes.
Okay. Doug, that works for you?
Yeah.
I'm not on, am I on safety? I don't think I'm on safety.
Yes.
I am?
You are.
Oh, good.
Does that work for you?
5:30?
Mr. Aller, Chief Rodas, are you in town? Does that day, does that day work for you? Tuesday, September the 8th at 5:30. It's the day after Labor Day. Okay. Okay, we'll have the clerk post a safety committee meeting. Would you like to have it in this room or?
Yes, please.
Okay, we'll meet back in this room.
So we're open, we're off, encouraged to come to that.
Absolutely.
When is that again, sir?
Tuesday, September the 8th at 5:30 PM, back in this room. Please let your neighbors know if you know that there are other, that might want to come. And it will be a safety committee meeting whose purpose will chiefly be these no parking signs. It's unusual to have this big of an exchange on a single issue like this at a city council meeting, but I wanted to hear from you. We are going to move on to other business tonight. I really appreciate you coming in and I welcome you, encourage you to come back on the 8th. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I think there was a gentleman who wanted to talk about Centennial traffic.
We do.
Okay.
That's agenda item 5C.
Gotcha.
Thank you all for coming.
Do you want to collect emails?
You said we have the emails here.
Here. Before, once you hear the rubble in the summit of the street, give that to Dave. I can fill that out in the hallway.
I got everybody that spoke. Aries will be my first.
All right, let's move on to added agenda item 5C, which I'm going to limit to a brief discussion about speed on Centennial Road, but come on up, sir.
How are you here? Sir. I've been a resident in Sylvania for about 23 years. We lived over on Thurfield, Highland Elementary. We recently moved on to Centennial. Centennial, north of Erie and Sylvania Metamora. Give us two plats of land with small, all look-alike kind of houses. And there's a second plat beyond Doyle. I live there. Then on the other side of the street is that large new condo area. Okay. Traffic is really fast. I had no idea before I moved there. I didn't realize those 32-wheel quarry trucks drove up and down that street like they do.
It is the designated truck route for the quarry. You are correct.
Yes, it is. And the thing is, it's 35 miles an hour, and my wife and I are on our bikes all the time. I have a brand new granddaughter, and I take her out on her stroller, and I try to walk the bicycle lane to go up to the playground that they have over by the soccer fields. The traffic speeds frequently, very frequently, and I'm concerned that one of these days somebody's going to get hurt. I have shared that concern with the Sylvania Police, and they have a couple of times put police officers there. And I think that there was concern because they put up two temporary radar speed lights, you know what I mean, where you drive by it and says, hey, you're going, you know, 55 when it's a 35. But what I found strange is that the one that they placed on Centennial on the north side, traveling up into Michigan, it was clear up almost at the Michigan line, far beyond the residential area. So most people, they probably got people at high speeds because they speed up once they get up there. Once you get up into Michigan, you can travel faster. The one place on the south side was almost at the intersection of Erie, Metamora, and Centennial. Dork gets to be business, Rite Aid's up there, and it was like 100, maybe 150 yards from the light. So people are either slowing down because they have a red light or maybe speeding up. I guess the point I'm making there is probably the engineer people know what they're doing, but it just seemed like they should have been flip-flop. Like at least put in the residential areas.
Or put mid-block if there were utility poles that they could post. Those are the new sensors that we have.
Well, these were placed in the ground. They could put them anywhere they wanted to because they were temporary. The just put a post.
All right.
But I do want to thank the Sylvania Police Department. They have been showing up there much more frequently, and they've actually nabbed a couple of people. I saw them giving tickets out a couple of times, as well as my wife. And we just wanted you to know that we thank you for that presence there and showing up, and we'd like to see it continue until people get the idea. And I was wondering, is there any possibility, being that it is a designated route for the quarry trucks, that the owners of the quarry can be spoken to and a message passed on to their people that this is a residential area, it is 35 miles an hour, slow your ass down a little bit. Stop hauling through there with your 32 wheels running over it. It feels literally, my wife and I think there's a thunderstorm.
It's actually probably not the quarry owners. Those are the trucks of the contractors coming to pick it up.
Yeah, but maybe they could do
something. We can spread the word with the quarry owners, but the best way to do it is to hand out some tickets and let people see those people getting tickets.
$120 a wheel.
We have to follow what the law says.
We can ride all these other streets, you know, and take care of the parking problem. But anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate your time and effort to allow these citizens to come here and say this. So,
thank you.
Okay. Does the clerk have?
I haven't seen this one.
Did you get his name? We need to know your name.
Oh, hey, Joel Johnson, at 6040 Centennial Road.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we are now done with added agenda item 5C. Let's get back to the agenda. We just have a short agenda on a couple items here. Agenda item 6 is a proposed resolution 5-2015. The administration noted that we have a young lady in town here who is a city resident. I don't know for how many years. That seems to be really important tonight. Probably for 15 years, I'm guessing. I'm not sure. Who has been not just a state champion, but a national champion in some junior archery championships. And the administration is recommending Resolution 5-2015 for your approval. She's preliminarily scheduled to come in here at our next meeting on September the 9th so that we can give this to her. But we like to recognize all state high school championship teams. National champions go beyond that. We've done that with the debate teams and the mock trial teams, and it just seems like this is a natural for our city council to do. With that, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 5-2015. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. A resolution of the Council of the City of Sylvania commending Sophia L. Howard for her first place finishes at the 2014 and 2015 National Junior Olympic Archery Development Outdoor Championships, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 5-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of resolution number 5-2015.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 5-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 5-2015 is approved. I have the original copy of it here in the official signing pen. I'm going to pass it to my right, pass the president of council, then we'll get it back to the other side of the table so we can have it ready for her. And again, she's scheduled to be in here on the 9th, Mr. Sanford?
Okay, yes.
Very good. Move on to agenda item 7. This has to do with engineering services for River Trail Phase 2. As I'm sure you're all aware, we are moving ahead with planning and financing. We've got it in the preliminary budgets to work on River Trail Phase 2 to go underneath US 23. We have an agreement with Flower Hospital to get across their lands, and we need to acquire the other easement coming up from 23 on the east side through Sylvania Country Club and the former Burger King. We got to go back to work on that. But we need to begin the final engineering so that we'll be able to get out to bid next year. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We are ready to proceed with final design now that we have a path, a route determined. And that final engineering design will include, they'll have to redesign the section that has to be an elevated walkway. So they have to perform that work. We'll have to do wetland determinations because we'll be heading out into the floodplain and possible wetland areas, so we'll have to coordinate that. And then there'll be some coordination with the U.S. Army Corps because of being in the floodplain, the bridge crossing that's up near U.S. 23 and things of that nature. The engineering required for that is for a not-to-exceed fee of $73,400 from Smith Group, JJR, who's been our consultant on this project. I believe from day one, I wasn't here from day one, but I believe from day one they've been a consultant. And I would recommend approval of the contract. They do a nice job. And I would recommend that we approve the contract and move forward.
Mr. Aller, one question I have about this. The ordinance calls for cost not to exceed $73,400, but in reviewing the agreement, it talks about compensation not to exceed $73,400 plus reimbursable expenses of $2,500. Should we add that to the ordinance amount, or do we just handle that in another, as a cleanup, if in fact we go above the $73,400? Page three.
I'm comfortable with the 73.4.
Typically, that's how we just include the actual fee amount and their reimbursables are handled differently.
That's perfectly fine. I just wanted to make sure we were. That was clear. Okay.
Even for an appropriation?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did have in our capital improvement budget planning dollars for this project. It's reflected in the budget. All right, with that, we have ordinance 55-2015 to hire JJR to proceed with that engineering. I'm not sure who's approved these contracts in the past, but I believe it's a Parks and Forestry, unless, Katie, you're not comfortable and you want somebody else to do it. Could be Mr. Lukey. He may have done some of these in the past. You're nodding like
we've done them both. We've both done them.
Your choice.
Sure. I was just agreeing with you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 55-2015. Copies have been made available to members of council earlier, therefore I will read by title only. Authorizing the mayor and director of finance to accept the proposal of Smith Group, JJR, to provide engineering services for the River Trail Phase 2 project, appropriating funds, therefore, in an amount not to exceed $73,400. Waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 55-2015 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage of ordinance number 55-2015.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 55-2015 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 55-2015 is approved. Thank you. We will proceed on that project. Agenda item 8 is committee reports for the committee meetings held earlier this evening in this council chamber, just so we get them into the council record, and we can direct for any work going forward. First is a report of the Building and Grounds Committee meeting held at 6 p.m. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We met, as you said, at 6 o'clock p.m. Regarding proposed ordinance 53-2015, which is the Lathrop House operating agreement. In attendance were members of the committee, myself as chair, Katie Capellini, Jason Mishka, and Mary Westfall. Other council members were Mark Fry and Doug Hanum. Others present included the law director, Leslie Brining, Bill Sanford, Mayor Stow and Brian Bucky from the Blade. We had a discussion led mainly from Ms. Brining regarding the city and the Metro Parks operating the Lathrop House 10 years ago. There was an agreement, actually 11, I guess now, to have the Metro Parks run the operations of the Lathrop House. That has ended, and the new agreement is a 2-year term and will pretty much throw things back to the city. The Metro Parks will still continue to advise, assist with grant writing and administration of grants. They will help with marketing and public relations. We decided not to act on this ordinance tonight because there are two issues that still need to be resolved with the Metro Parks, and Ms. Brining felt that we could hold off until those two things are resolved and then move forward. The members, Sue McHugh, the head of the Friends of the Lathrop House, has been involved with these conversations, as well as Andy Erbscorn, the Sylvania Historical Village Executive Director, with the hopes at some point in time that we can all be one organization regarding the history of the city of Sylvania. Tim Burns has gone through the house with Sue McHugh, just having a look-see at things that need to be done or whatever. The only known cost at this point would be that the Metro Parks District has been paying the utilities. That will come back to the city to do. It's about $2,000, at least past history shows it to be about $2,000. At some point, they have done phase one and phase two with grants from ODOT, which included the outside of the building and the basement and the museum that they created in the basement. In the future, they'd like to do a phase three, which would be to restore the first floor. That would be down the road, and they would expect to go out for grants, and that's where the Metro Parks could be a good source for them and a good backup to getting those kinds of grants. I think that's about all we covered this evening. And we did that in a quick 12 minutes. We adjourned at 6:12.
Very efficient, Mrs. Hussman. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Then item 8B is a report of the Zoning and Annexation Committee that took a little longer than 12 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We had a Zoning and Annexation Committee meeting at 6:30. We had all members of council, mayor present, and representatives of the administration. We reviewed the history of the petition ZA-2-2014 and had a brief presentation by Attorney Jerry Parker on behalf of the petitioner. He emphasized that the proposed change affected an area that he characterized as not residential but commercial, that the light at Alexis and Acres made this a desirable development, and noted that that the current intention was to develop this as a medical office with an investment of about $1.5 million, similar to the property across the street. We then had roughly 60 plus residents present who were uniformly opposed to the zoning change, roughly 15 speakers. Among the items they noted was that this was not a commercial area, it's a residential area, and the home and the parcels currently residential, that we had no, no limit on the use of appropriate B2 uses in the application, that there were traffic concerns in the area, that there were other commercial properties available in the area. There was concern about, expressed about the absence of a traffic study, concerns regarding emergency vehicle access, more specific traffic concerns about left-hand turns from Acres to Alexis and Alexis to Acres. Lots of comments that this was a strong neighborhood that would be adversely affected by this change. Concern regarding commercial creep into the neighborhood, concerns about the adequacy of the infrastructure for this zoning, and concern about property values, crimes, and overall very uniform adverse reaction to the proposed change. We also noted that there were other communications via email, letter, and direct phone calls opposing this zoning change. At the conclusion of the zoning, at the conclusion of the presentation, the zoning committee uniformly recommended that we direct, uniformly recommend to council that it request that the law director prepare legislation for our meeting on September 9th, denying the change in zoning and rejecting the recommendation of the Planning Commission. So with that, I would move that this council request that the law director prepare legislation rejecting the requested zoning change in petition ZA-2-2014 and overriding and rejecting the recommendation of the Planning Commission.
Second. It's been moved and seconded to direct the law director to prepare legislation denying the requested zoning change at Acres and Alexis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll have that ready for you.
Mr. Mayor, one other item. We had hoped this evening to address some architectural design standards at our zoning committee meeting. That wasn't possible because of the time constraints and the public interest. But I'll just heads up to council that I would like to move on this at our September 9th meeting, recommend it to the Planning Commission for their review and comment while we continue to consider it. I'm getting concerned about the amount of time we have. I definitely want to complete this year. I anticipate bringing that to council.
So the only action would be referring it to the Planning Commission.
Yes. Yeah, the process is
to give them the requisite time.
We have to refer to them. They have to review it, and we can review it concurrently. It will come back from Planning Commission with recommendation and comments. We'll then schedule a public hearing. We'll have to have a public hearing on this. That will take time. And when we get those comments, we will likely, we may have to fine-tune the legislation. I think this is something where the public input could very well impact the legislation that we ultimately develop. So I'm just being conscious of the fact that it's the beginning of September, and I do want to get this done before the end of the year, and we're going to have to work to get it done. So. That's my thinking.
Are you going to schedule a meeting, Mr. Hayman?
I think we'll, I was,
I wasn't planning on having a meeting before the 9th, because I don't think we have, we don't.
When is the next planning commission meeting?
That would be the following Wednesday after that meeting, so it's a week later, be the 16th then.
But I would suspect that they may need, they're going to need more than a week to review this.
They are.
So they're probably not going to be able to act on this until their October meeting.
We don't have to make the referral tonight because we'll have another meeting before they meet.
Right.
Yeah.
So if, I think it's, you know, if you want to, we can look at those and, we certainly don't want to do any, we don't want to violate our open meetings, our open records obligations, but if you have thoughts about those, I'd be interested in them before the 9th. But my thought is that we would, that the zoning and annexation committee would consider these at the same time that the planning commission is planning. There's been a lot of work on these already done by the administration in conjunction with Randy Milnick, who's very familiar with our zoning code, as those of you who've been through the zoning code know. So it's not, it's, these are further along, this isn't, there's been a lot of thought put into these already. But we'll have, but I would like to do that, like to have us consider them at the same time the planning commission's working on them and overlap those, that review so that we can keep the process moving and complete this before the end of the year.
And again, Mr. Hayner, I would fully expect the plan commission to wait until Wednesday, October the 14th.
Right.
So that they can review it, go back and think about it, and then come back to another meeting and discuss it. So
I would expect that as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We had the motion to prepare the legislation about CA 2 2014, so we're all set there. Agenda item 9 is committee referrals. Any referrals to be made at this time? Sir, did we address the issue that you're here for tonight? Okay, thank you.
I'm sure we'll be back at it again, but...
Okay. All right, in the informational items, you'll see a report from the Division of Taxation. We're moving in the right direction. Tax receipts are now up 2.33% through July. It's at least moving in the right direction. We'd like to see more movement. I also refer you to second quarter management reports, which were included in the packet, and those are quite useful. One item that, I went and circled in mine already is in the utilities report. You can see that water sales by the city are down, and this is only through the end of June. It's really going to be reflected more in July and August in the third quarter, but they're already down. That is affecting our income and our cash flow, both in water more and some in sewer. You need to be aware that that's going on. Some people haven't run their sprinklers hardly at all this year, or a very small amount. It's supposed to rain many days this week, too, and here we are in August, middle of August, when it's normally quite dry. So that is an issue going forward to take a look at. With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next meeting in 3 weeks and 2 days on Wednesday, September the 9th at 7:30 p.m. To the gentleman that's left, thank you for attending. Thank you.